You're listening to the Word of Life AG podcast. This is the message from this week's service. If you want to view the full service, including worship, please head to our website at wordoflifeag.org. While there, you can also see what's coming up at the church or even check out some next steps. All right, let's dive into this week's message.
Hey, everybody. Good morning. Would you stand to your feet with me real quick? Can we just do this before I start? I'm so honored to be with you today. So turn to your neighbor, give him a high five. Just say, hey, I'm glad I'm sitting next to you. And I just want to say thank you to this church before you sit down. You folks, I come here, this is my third time to be with you. I got in at 3 o'clock this morning. It was amazing. I'll tell you all about it. But I just want us today just to say thank you to God for the opportunity that we have. I know we've already done that during worship, which was just amazing. So can we just give a praise and a shout and clap to Lord Jesus today? Thank you, God. You are awesome in this place, Lord. And we love you, Jesus. Woo! All right. You can be seated. I just needed to get that out of my system, I'm telling you. Good to be with you today. My name is Jeff, Pastor Tom and Megan. Thank you for your friendship, your leadership, and your love. Give it up for your pastors and your staff. Come on. I love you guys. I also love the fact that I get to come and see what Jesus is doing in this church, and it's pretty cool. So where are all my kids today? Are there any kids in this service today? They're going to raise their hands. So how about my students, like my junior, senior hires? Are they here? All right, good. I'm so glad. I'm honored that you guys are here today. So I hope you get something out of this message today. But more importantly, I hope you put something into this service today. Your worship, your heart, your passion. And of course, this church is a strategic partner of Convoy because every year you go to work, you take a day out of your year, and you say, Lord, I'm committing that day to you. And whatever I make today. So I was just in Iowa, and a student that worked at Subway came up to me and said, hey, I got to tell you real quick. He said, I don't normally get tips when on my job at Subway, but he said, the day that I decided to work for one day to feed the world for my church, some guy leaned over the counter and handed him a $50 bill, and he's like, great God. Of all days... He got a $50 tip, and the guy was insistent. He goes, I don't know why, but just take this. And the kid stopped and said, listen, sir, I'm working today on behalf of the poor and suffering around the world, and everything that I make in my paycheck today, I'm putting in my offering at church. And the guy just kind of handed him the money and just walked out shaking his head. Like, I'm not sure why I did what I did, but how many of you know God is good, and he wants to bless you? He wants you to walk with him for life. I call it Jesus on the daily. So I got saved in July, the year I graduated from high school. I was a little pagan junior and senior higher. My local church was having revival, long story short. My friends led me to Jesus. And I'm so thankful today that day was real, but living for Jesus every day is the goal for me, to honor the Lord and to live for him. So I'm grateful for this church. Here's the main reason I do what I do. This is my tribe, my family. This is my lovely wife, Mary, who has yet to come on this excursion with me. So this is my family. Let me see. I know that's coming up on a screen somewhere. I'm not sure. So my family, there we go. So that's my tribe. So I've got 3 daughters. Everybody say, girl, dad. And I've got 3 granddaughters. Everybody say, girl, papa. Yeah, I love my girls. I am a sheep dog when it comes to all my girls. So the one in the middle, if you go back to that family picture. Oh, well, you're showing off my grandbabies, too. You guys are awesome. Go back to the family pic. All right, so the blonde right there on the right, like, she's getting married November 1st. So Jake, son-in-law, potential number 3, is in the batter's box right now. He's like, he's about ready to take my 3rd daughter away. And those are my 2 son-in-laws, 3 granddaughters. So I love my family. And then grandbabies, here we go. So Wilder on the left, Hadley on the right. And the newest addition is Molly Jewel. And Molly came She didn't come to take charge. Molly came to take over. She's that tall, and she's got like boardroom presence. She's that influential. Anything she wants, she gets from me. I don't know what the deal is. I'm not sure how that works. So, well, Convoy of Hope has really your one day. And let me just explain what one day to feed the world is real quick. Many of you have already participated. How many of you, have done one day to feed the world before? The last year or 2 years before? Just keep your hands up. God bless you guys. And so many of you, this could be your first opportunity to say, hey, we're going to get involved in this. I'm going to do my best in the offering today. But really, one day is more than just an offering. One day is your heart dialing in to what Jesus is doing in the world. One day, it also, that the heart of that is when you leave this place that you'll hopefully be kinder, show more compassion to people around you. And how many of you know it's a tough thing to show kindness and compassion in the world that we're living in right now without God's help? So we need God's help to show the world. And by the way, the world needs what we have, but we really need to have what the world needs. So we need those experiences with Jesus. So one day to feed the world, you're helping us feed kids, train farmers, empower women and girls, respond to disasters around the world. And so your one day is really changing every single day of the people that you're giving to. So here's some of the beautiful kids in our program. I want to introduce you to a few of them. And these children are one of 571,000 children we feed every school day through Convoy of Hope. That's 500,000 kids. We hope to be feeding 1 million children by 2030. Amen. And so some of our kids are driving passionate for children all over the world to have food, clean water. How many of you like food? Anybody like food? Your favorite food? We think about it. Some of you were raised in a food insecure home maybe, or in real just poverty, and some of you, that was never a concern for you. My wife, she remembers going home and opening the cupboards, and there was a loaf of bread, a little thing of butter, and some sugar, so they made sugar butter sandwiches for lunch. And she said, Jeff, I just remember eating a lot of bologna, and the cupboards were bare where my wife was raised, okay? And I married a Montana girl, by the way, and so Montana and California only meet at Bethany Bible College in California, because that's where I met my wife. And so I just want to say that for many of us, food insecurity really hasn't been an issue. But do you know that today, while we're meeting, 16,000 children will perish from the earth because they don't have something good to eat? Another 8,000 adults will perish along with them every single day. 25,000 people needlessly die because they don't have access to food, nutritious food. By the way, there's enough food in the world to feed the whole world. It's access. It's getting the food to those places. So we're going to talk about that. So here's some of the beautiful kids that we serve. And I had a mom, and I was recently in El Salvador last month, and a mom came up to me, and she just said, thank you so much for feeding our kids. And I said, well, we're really grateful, and it really is the church in America that does one day to feed the world that does that. And she said, but sir, we don't want you feeding our grandkids. And that mom knew something. That mom knew that generational poverty needs to break with her generation, amen, with their generation. And so the mom, this beautiful El Salvadorian mom, she looked at me, and man, she just owned that moment. And I said, ma'am, with God's help, we're not going to be feeding your grandkids, because sometimes when you help people, you can create dependency where they need it all the time. And that's not necessarily God's plan all the time. God wants us to be able to stand up inside of our life. He wants us to be productive and be sustainable. But how many of you know, a lot of folks in the world right now don't have access to that food. They don't have access to clean water. And so we're bringing that water, food, critical supplies, but we're doing it in Jesus' name. And that's the difference. The difference is, I can meet you and you're hungry and I give you something to eat and we're like, hey, yeah, be warm, be filled, be fed, cool. But you're still going to spend eternity without Jesus, with a full belly. So what we try to connect is Matthew 25, where Jesus said, when you give that cup of cold water in my name, do it in my name. And then Matthew 28, go into all the world and preach the gospel. So we like to show kindness and compassion to anyone and everyone in our path, but we'll never stop telling the world about Jesus. So that's a non-negotiable for us at Convoy of Hope. We want to tell people about the Lord Jesus, and that's the goal. Agriculture, some of our farmers growing more and better food. You can see on some of these pictures just the power of a seed. And we're right now, we're the Center of Agriculture and Food Security in Springfield, Missouri, where I just came from yesterday. We're setting up a center where we are able to teach farmers around the world. Many of them, we consult with them personally in growing more and better food. But it's so powerful to see people getting involved, creating jobs, putting food on their table, money in their pocket, but also tithing back. All of our farmers, we have 20,000 farmers, 20,000 people trained in agriculture tithe their crops back into the feeding program in that country. So, for example, in Haiti, and pray for Haiti, by the way, Haiti's kind of coming undone again, and we're praying, believing God for good things there. But in Haiti, the rice fields are all back online, and bean and corn farms. And so the farmers are getting the crop, they're taking it in, and then they're using the same beans and rice and corn to feed over 100,000 Haitian kids every school day in Haiti. And the farmers are so proud of that because they're saying, hey, as Pastor Omega in the picture said, he goes, Pastor Jeff, he goes, we're Haitian farmers growing Haitian corn, beans, and rice, feeding little Haitians. And I said, yes, sir. I said, how does that feel? And he goes, it feels so good. He said, it's restored our dignity to serve our own people and not rely on a container ship to bring in the food that is imported. Amen? Women and girls, strength, dignity, and hope. And I particularly love the women and girls empowerment because I have got strong girls in my life. I mean, they are strong. I don't know what happened. They're more like their mother. And my wife's amazing. But I'll just say that women and girls empowerment brings strength, dignity, hope, and skills to women and girls that would not normally have that opportunity. Mom in Nicaragua said, I'm so thankful Convoy taught me a new word. And I said, what was the word that Convoy of Hope taught you? And she said, tomorrow. Tomorrow. She said, Jeff, we didn't think past our nose, is what she was saying. She said, every single day, my kids get up and go scrub windshields in traffic. Then they sell newspapers and shine shoes. And then they come home for a little bit to eat. And then they go to school. And then they come home from school, do their homework, little to no food. And the rest of the afternoon is trying to stay awake, stay healthy, stay fed, and only to live another day. So many of these moms, it's not just about stopping something, but it's about starting something good in their life, breaking the cycle of hopelessness, and we know Jesus brings hope. So here's some of the outcomes. So Word of Life, you've been with us on this journey, and I just want to say thank you. So these numbers, there's some big, audacious numbers, but I just want to say, remember the one person in these numbers, okay? So I'm missing the slide. There it is. I'm sure it's there. Okay, good. So 571,000 kids fed every school day. We've responded, served almost 50,000 women and girls. I take that back. We have 30,000 farmers. I thought we had 20. We've responded to 86 disasters in 2023 alone, and then we're serving in 66 countries. And a lot of food and a lot of ministry. But the best number is this. Thousands and thousands of people have come to know Jesus Christ because the church is our number one partner in the world. And churches like this, yes. If I think I'm going to say like your pastor said, if one person claps, everybody claps. I actually like that one-liner from your pastor. I actually like several sticky statements from your pastors. So I've been watching a few of your services. Another good thing is 92 cents of every dollar donated goes directly to relief efforts, so we're just really happy that the resources that you give goes to people in need, and we're grateful for that. Well, right now, Africa is facing the greatest hunger crisis the world has seen in 50 years. And Convoy of Hope is launching what's called Africa Waits. It's our campaign to invest more resources in some of the world's most vulnerable communities. Your one-day partnership brings hope to places like this.
So this one is Madare, Madare Valley. Madare Valley is home, the poor. Madare has more than 500,000 children. Their parents have no income or source of money, so they are being left home, not going to school.
Maybe their parents are bedridden. Maybe they are affected with the HIV. The kids who their parents are drug addicts. Those are poor of the poorer. I need to do something for those kids. I want to change my community holistically. May God help me to be a lamp to make a change, because I just believe that change starts with us.
They are surviving on their own. No one to take care of them, no one to nurture them, no one to teach them, no one to train them. This is why we have this program. Through taking the children to our school, we become father to them, counselor, guidance, and their protector.
The school has already grown and was getting broken down. That time we could not even now provide food. We didn't have anybody to support us. You cannot teach a person with an empty stomach because they cannot concentrate. So now when the Convoy of Hope came in, it was like a dream. We have fruits, we have porridge, we have lunch, and also tomorrow they will come because they know that in school there is food, and when they stay at home there is no food. Convoy of Hope is like a petrol being put in a car. They are energizing me every day. But we need to do more, because in Madare, food alone could not give them a brighter future. We call it Changa. Some people have nicknamed it Kill Me Slowly.
That Changa is made up of unclean water from Madare River. It's mixed with ethanol.
They think that maybe taking alcohol is the only solution to make them now to forget about the problem that they are passing through.
I grew when my father was drinking. It has been his habit when he's drunk, he come at home, he start abusing us, start screaming like a mad person. I think it was affecting his brain. Patrick was my neighbor, and one day he came and told me that there is an organization who want to mentor some girls.
We just bring them together, we talk with them, we do the counseling.
I never liked the way I was. I just see myself as a disappointment. But when I came to realize that I was made in God's image and likeness, this motivated me. Through this program, I'm empowered. I realized that I can become a better person and I can express myself. I would not like to see another child or another girl passing the same thing that I myself passed through. I have hope. It's like my dream is coming true.
Out of thousands, millions of people here in Kenya, they knew that God has called us to come and be his vessels. Through these kids, I know that we were chosen out of many to present the kingdom of God.
Today, the need is overwhelming. Timothy Keller said this, the late Pastor Timothy Keller, if you have money, power, and status today, it's largely due to the century and place in which you were born, and B, your talents and capacities and health, none of which you earned. In short, all your resources are in the end the gift of God. And today, you don't have, we come to church. We are the body of Christ. We are to be the hands and feet of Jesus to the world that we live in. And by the way, not just across the seas, but across the street. Across your street is where this starts. Actually, probably across the aisle. It starts here today for us to say, God, give me your eyes. Let me see how you see it. And growing up, I had a crazy youth pastor. I got saved when I was 18 years old, so I don't know what it's like to really live a fully committed life as a student, but I did commit my life to Jesus when I was 18, and my youth pastor always used to say, he'd say, okay, boys and girls, young people, he said, get your God goggles on. And I'm like, what's my God goggles? I didn't pick those up when I became a Christian. Well, you get God goggles as you start living for Jesus because you start seeing the world the way he sees it. So instead of seeing, and I've walked in the Mathari Valley, I've walked through this area of the world, and all over the world there's need. There's need right here within probably a 10, 15 mile radius of this church. You will find somebody in need. But it's how you see it. It's how we see those people. Do we judge them so harshly before we want to meet their needs? Or do we tell the drug addict, like, hey, you got to get it together before you come to Jesus? Or do we tell the alcoholic or whatever addiction or hang up or habit that we have? By the way, those are all the things we bring to God. And then you don't clean the fish before you catch them. Amen? So, you can't expect the world to get it. Do you know how God's plan for getting it? It's you. It's me. They're actually seeing, that's what it's like to be a Christian. Or that's what it's like. I like those people over at Word of Life. They're the real deal. I like those people over. Why? Because there's nothing fake. There's nothing fake about it today. And so I want to just read you a story about from Luke chapter 10. It's just a quick story in the Bible. And you might have heard this story, but it's called The Parable of the Good Samaritan. And it's found in Luke chapter 10, verse 25. I'm going to read the story to you. Use your imagination and just kind of jump into this story with me. So an expert in the religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question. He asked Jesus, hey, what should I do to inherit eternal life? In other words, how can I be saved? And Jesus said, what does the law of Moses say? How do you read it? And the man said, love God with all of your heart, soul, strength, and your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Right, Jesus told him, do this and you'll live. The man wanted to justify his actions, so he asked Jesus, who is my neighbor? Would you say that with me? Who is my neighbor? Jesus unpacked this story. Here we go. So Jesus tells this story about a Jewish man traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho. Very, very sketchy valleys and paths and direction to get to Jericho from Jerusalem. There were a lot of bad things that happened on that road. Well, something bad happened to this guy. Jesus says that this man was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along. And it says he saw the man lying there, but it said, here's the guy and here's the priest. The priest went to the other side of the road to walk by this guy. Didn't want to touch him. Most believe for religious reasons. Could have been for other reasons. Then it says, secondly, a temple assistant or a Levite, a worship leader, walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed by on the other side. So here are two religious professionals. Somebody is in dire need, and they're like, I'm out. No can do. One of my favorite verses in all of the Bible is Luke chapter 10, verse 23. then a despised Samaritan came by. Check out what he did. When he saw the man, he felt compassion. And that is what God wants to install in all of us today. When you leave this place, that you will have the God goggles on, like, God, help me see the way you see it, but you're going to be moved. You won't just walk by and go, yeah, I don't care anymore. Well, if you're a Christian, that's not an option to not care. If you're following Jesus, it's not an option to not care. So this is what he said. It says he went over to the guy. He felt compassion for him. The Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine, bandaged them all up, put him on his own donkey, basically put him in his truck and took him to the hotel, bandaged him up, put him on his own donkey, and took him to an inn where he took care of him. So the guy spent the night with this poor soul, this despised Samaritan. The next day, he handed the owner of the hotel 2 silver coins and said, take care of this guy. If his bill runs higher, I'll pay you next time I'm here. So you get the picture. This guy then leaves. Though Jesus says, which of these 3 would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by bandits? And Jesus said, and the man said, the one who showed him mercy. Then Jesus said, yes, now go and do the same. And what Jesus was trying to say, was, it's important to be ready to show mercy on the daily. Like when you get up and you start your day in your routine, give some margin for God and say, God, help me show mercy to somebody today. So I had a very challenging day yesterday. I got in, like I said, 3:30 in the morning, planes, broken planes, canceled flights, delays, storms. Thank you, Jesus. It was just a day. And so I got in early this morning and got a couple hours of sleep. And I knew I was going to need to Uber up here because the rental car place was closed. And the airport was really quiet when we landed, so nobody was there. So I just Ubered to the church this morning. But the man that picked me up was from Nepal. And his name was Dhan, D-H-A-N. And so we start talking, and like I had a 17-minute drive from downtown to here. And he starts telling me about his country. He goes, what do you do? And I said, I work for an organization. I said, we have about 100 farmers in Nepal. And I thought, great, my Uber driver is doing this now. This is not good. And I like click my seatbelt. It was weird. And he's like, are you kidding me? And I'm like, pay attention to the road, bro. And he goes, where are you going? And I said, Word of Life, Assembly of God Church. And he goes, are you a preacher? And I'm like, not really, but I'm a communicator and I work for this organization. He goes, if I wasn't working, I would come to this church. And I said, come to this church. I said, if you get a moment, I don't know if Dan made it here or not. But this is his day where he makes extra income for his 4 kids and his wife. But he was so blown away that we have farms and agriculture centers in Nepal. And so he gets out, he grabs my suitcase. Pastor met us at the portico when he dropped me off. And he just looked at me like, God bless you. And I said, sir, it's what God's doing in the world. It's not me. But I said, we're part of what Jesus is doing in the world. And he just looked at me before I got out of the car and he said, I want to be part of what Jesus is doing in the world. If that's it. The Good Samaritan opened his eyes and saw the need. The first question the priest and Levite asked was, if I stop to help this dude, what will happen to me? And that's the difference between, and young men and women here today, teenagers especially, man, we just seem like all eyes are on us. Friendship is the currency of your culture, like acceptance and peer groups and your friends, and that's everything. But I will tell you this, that is fleeting compared to a lifetime of walking with Jesus. You're going to make it through being a teenager. You can thrive being a teenager, but I would encourage you today to give every part of your life to God before you leave this service. Because it's the best life, you guys. Now, did I keep all my stoner friends? Like, I used to go to Creekside Park as a high school student and smoke my lunch with all the stoners. And the Baptist church across the street used to send an army of teenagers over equipped with four spiritual laws to minister to all the stoners. I was one of the kids in the park. And they used to come over and pass out tracts and pray for us and feel all sorry for us because we're going to hell. And we were. But there was one guy who came up to me and said, Anderson, I don't know why I'm going to say this. And he's a Baptist, so, you know, whatever. And I said, hey, dude, Darren said to me, he goes, I don't know why I'm telling you this, but he said, God has a plan. And he said, he's going to use you and he's going to blow your mind. It wasn't hallelujah yet. I took his track, lit it on fire, and threw it up in the air. And I said, that is what I think of you and all your buddies. Well, Darren was my friend. So what do?
They pray for the sinners.
And I got on his prayer list that day. And 1 year to the day, I got saved. 1 year to the day. So all your friends that you think, I'd never have anything in common with them. And by the way, all the jocks and all the peer groups and subgroups and subculture groups at my high school, we're like close friends on Facebook now. It's really weird. I never hung out with those people. They're like, Anderson, it's so cool you're a Christian. Anderson, it's so cool you're not a raging drug addict anymore. And I'm like, yeah, I know, but God's got a higher purpose for you. God's got a higher purpose for every single one of you in this room. So open your eyes and see the need. Say, God, I know you love the world, but help me love the world. Statistically, Americans hear the gospel preached 1,400 times in their lifetime in North America. 42% of the earth has not had a clear and adequate presentation of the gospel or access to the gospel. That is 4 out of 10 people on the planet. That is 4, 3.5 billion people have not had. So just think about that for a second. We get to come to church and hear Pastor Tom and Megan and the team and the staff and worship and get the word. And yet 4 out of 10 people on the planet haven't even heard about Jesus. That's an injustice. Ladies and gentlemen, if there is an injustice, that's one. So I'm trying with everything I have in the days that I have left on the earth to say, how are we going to get the gospel to the rest of the world to hear about Jesus? Because I've heard it. He opened his heart and he felt the need. He opened his eyes, he opened his heart. What do you do when you see a need? Do you act more like the priest and the Levite, or do you act like the Good Samaritan? Like the priest and Levite are like, I'm not touching that. 10-foot pole rule, nope. Not going to get involved. And some of you might be here today. It's like, I'm not even going to get involved in the church. Because maybe you've been burned. Or you've been disappointed. Or something bad has happened. But look, you're here. And God's bigger than our problems. And he's bigger than the issues we're dealing with. So God, do you think God could help us to feel that need in the world today? And third, he opened his hands and he met the need. This good Samaritan not only had eyes that were on the Lord, a heart that was walking with God, but he did something about it. And this is what I love about this story, is that this good Samaritan just went into action. Do you love people like that? They just show up and do stuff. They just show up and do cool things. They don't talk. Well, they can talk, but there's some people that's all they do, is talk. And it would be nice if they actually, and I'm not looking at the pastors right now, I'm looking over here, if it would be nice as a leader, I pastored 24 years, so I get this. It's like, okay, that's nice that you want me to change that, but what are you willing to do about it? Can you help me pastor this church, reach this city for Jesus? And so a lot of times, God calls on us to say, God, where do you want me to go, and who do you want me to bless today? The good Samaritan gave his eyes to see. He gave his heart to feel. He gave his donkey for the man to ride on. Think about that. He was like, here, dude. Flopped him over on his donkey, and he walked. He walked that donkey to the inn with this guy that was half dead. He gave his feet when he walked alongside this man. He gave his hands when he cleaned and bandaged the wounds, and I'm sure it was a mess. He gave his time. He postponed his own schedule. He actually let himself be inconvenienced for a half-dead man on the trail to Jericho. Can you imagine? And yet every day we walk by need. And yet we could have the power to stop and meet that need. The Good Samaritan gave his money when he paid for his stay. So here's the question. The priest and Levite asked, if I stop to help this man, what will happen to me? But the Good Samaritan reversed the question. If I do not stop to help this man, what will happen to him? And that's the difference. That's the difference. That's how you and I can get up every day and say, all right, God, this is not about me. And so I let me die to myself, take up my cross, follow you. And Jesus, be yourself through me. And I'm telling you, everywhere I go across the country, the churches that are growing and thriving and new life and some are booming, those churches are outward focused. If I lived here, I couldn't wait for serve day. I absolutely could not wait, because you're making a statement in the seen and the unseen realm when you show up and just go out and do some acts of kindness, not to get brownie points and get more saved or to get favor with God. Or you're going out there to meet real needs of people. And I'm going to tell you what, folks, don't forget this. Evangelism is loving people until they ask you why. Why are you doing this? And then you can just look at them and go, because we love Baldwinsville. Because we love our community and we love you. And then they're going to go, well, hey, well, thanks for raking my leaves and painting my school. And then you'll just say, hey, we're from Word of Life and we'd love to have you. We have church this Sunday. Y'all should come. I think you're going to be surprised next Sunday with the results and the stories of Saturday, of just being the hands and feet of Jesus right here in your own city. I love it. So, okay, I got to wrap up. So, where were we? I'm ready to end. Jesus gave this instruction, Luke 14. He said, when you host an elaborate meal, invite the poor. Here's the guest list. Invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. I want you to stop for a second and look at that table. Those people can't repay you. Those people have probably never been to an event like that because nobody took time to give them any attention. The broken, the marginalized, people with no voice in our world today. And Jesus says, that's the table that you're going to invite these people to. Because then you will be blessed, the Bible says. Because they can't repay you, but you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous.